Alright, good evening everyone. Good evening 6 PM service. Could you just give a high five to your seatmate? Now this evening, we're starting a brand new series called The Apostles' Creed. Now, who among you, katong bata mo, you can remember this. You can recite this by memory, as in perfectly. Okay? Who among you, kaya ninyo isulti ni pagnamoy kuyog? The goal of this series is to look into The Apostles' Creed, to look into the underlying truths and doctrines that we can see from the Apostles' Creed and apply them in our life. It is to look at the Apostles' Creed and take what we can learn from the Creed based on the Bible truths that they are from. And to give you a brief background as well, the Apostles' Creed, it's basically a summary of what the Apostles taught back then in the early church. Now, the Creed was written about 150 years after the Apostles had died. So it's not actually written by them. But it's like a summary, if you will, of all that they taught, the non-negotiable things that they taught. And that's what we're going to look into this morning. Because it's a creed of some of the non-negotiable things we believe as Christians, then we need to be aware of some of those non-negotiable things. Because what we believe affects greatly how we live our lives, right? What you believe in life, it will greatly affect how you live your life or how you manage your life. Let me illustrate it this way. Say, for example, how many of you are familiar with the story of the ugly duckling, right? A bird who for the longest time thought he was a duck. And everyone said that he was an ugly duckling. So he grew up thinking that he was an ugly duckling. Until that day, he realized that he was a swan. Okay, eagle. He was a swan, okay? And so he realized that he was not an ugly duckling after all. He was living his life thinking that he was this thing, where in reality, lahat de siya. And so because he believed a certain thing that he was an ugly duckling, he lived his life for a long time, depressed, sad, feeling ugly. Until he realized he was a swan. And by believing that he was a swan, lahat na ang paglanto niya sa iyong kinabuhi. The way he lived his life was different na. Again, what we think, what we believe, it will greatly affect our actions, our emotions, our attitudes. Basically, how we live our life. Just to give you another example, how many of you are familiar with the placebo effect? Okay, mga medical inclined people, students. The placebo effect, wherein if you take, let's say, a certain medicine, even if that medicine doesn't really work, but if you take it and you believe na it works, it will be good for you, it's going to cure you of your illness, then actually something is going to happen in your body, mas muayo ka. That goes to show you the power na what you believe, again, will affect your life. If it can happen like that, na what you believe will affect your health, and how much more the other aspects of your life. Because sometimes the words that people say to us, if we believe them, it affects us to a certain way. For some of us here today, we live our life now at one point in our life, things have been spoken to us. Maybe for some of you, nainana mong, bugo ka, lain gay ka, yabag ang tingog. And so you feel sad, you feel down. But for flip side naman, for some of us, okay, good things naman have been spoken. Uy, chadak ang tingog, you're the best singer in the world. Okay, so even if no one else agree, but your mother will say it, yeah. Diba? Like, okay kay ka. Or diba kung muhay ang crush ni mo, diba late na yung day, ana? Mutagad lang ganyan si crush ni mo, hi, a simple hi. Like, Lord, solve na adlaw na ako, Lord. A simple something spoken to you, it affects how you live your life. And so with that, it is important for us to look into what the creed has to say. Because it's a summary of the statements we believe as Christians. It's important for us to know what are those things we believe or we should believe. If what we believe affects our life, it is important for us to know what we believe. Many times we live our lives not really knowing a lot of things that we believe or have agreed. Say for example, how many of you are familiar with this post that pops up in your computer? Have you ever encountered that? You agree to the terms and conditions. But how many of you really know what you're agreeing? I think a whole lot of you don't even know the first few paragraphs of what you agree. Diba? Sometimes we just click, I agree. Pero utang abalo actually, unsa siya. Now we can't have that in our Christian walk and in our relationship with God. We need to understand and know what are those things we should believe. We need to have a better picture or understanding of the things that as Christians, we can't miss out. But we should have a great learning. Now, for this first installment, I'm going to look at the first few lines of the Apostles' Creed and look at verses where those lines were based, where some of those verses that can back up those lines, basically. Now, I'm not going to attempt to preach everything and anything about those first few lines, okay? So, basically, this isn't a preaching that will attempt to explain everything and anything about the first few lines of the Creed. But it's a way to encourage you, to give you at least an overview of some of those first few lines of the Creed. And to encourage you as well to learn more about those first few lines in the Apostles' Creed. So I guess you're ready for that. All right. But before I read the Apostles' Creed, let me just continue to give a preview or a description of the Creed. As I gave a brief history kanina, it was written about 150 years ago. And the Creed has several useful reasons why it was made, why the early church had to make the Creed. And some of the ways that they use it was that it was used to define, defend, and declare our Christian faith. When we say define, again, it's a summary. Kung mayon ka, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to believe in God, what are some of the things that goes along with it? What are some of the aspects that we should know or believe as Christians? So it's used to define. It's used to defend. Now, if someone would come along, say something else, okay, a false truth, something that sounds good, pero hindi siya sakto di ay, then the Creed is there to see or to evaluate if sakto ba ning giingon aning tawhana. It's used to defend the Christian faith. And it's used to declare as well. It's used to declare, it's used to say that what we believe as Christians. And the early church, they also use it because the Creed gives a brief outline of the central truths of the gospel. This is very crucial because back then in the early church, there were some heretical teachings that would come up. People would try to go to the church, say something else that would contradict what the apostles had taught or what the scripture had taught them. So they needed the Creed to help them discover the things that were deceiving them from the things that are right. And talking about things that can trick you or deceive you, as I was preparing for this, I came across this picture, this Japanese photographer on Instagram. There's this Japanese photographer on Instagram, and he posted this picture as an experiment on Instagram to see if people would realize something. Now, in this picture, it seems like a normal pose of someone having a date with his girlfriend, or like sa kaon, or saba. But the reality is, the funny thing is, when this guy took this picture, it was actually taken like this. It was actually all by himself. Diba? It looked like he had a girlfriend, had an awesome time. Pero, yun, siya lang pala ito, na-pinch-pinch yung self, nag-feed yung self. In fact, so many people didn't realize it. They liked, they shared the thing, like, uy, kang cute ninyo, and all that. Not knowing, it was all himself. I'm sharing that because, like that guy who fooled a lot of people, although intentionally, kasi pang joke lang, in the early church, there were a lot of people who got fooled by false doctrines, by false teachings of certain people. And that's why, one of the reasons why the Creed exists was again, to define, defend, and declare the Christian faith. Now, let me read to you the first few lines of the Apostles' Creed. And that's what this installment is going to focus this evening. Firstly, let's all read this together lang aloud, alright? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Right? That's about where I'm going to limit for this installment. For this installment, I'm going to focus on those first few lines that talks about who God is. For this installment, we're going to talk about who God is. And we're going to learn that, yes, we only have one God, but He's also one God in three persons. We're going to be talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit this very evening. So firstly, Father and Creator. The Bible tells us that God is our Heavenly Father, and God is our Creator. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says na, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here's the thing, how many of you here are nature lovers? Say mga nature lovers dere. You love to go on escapades, Palawan, you know, mountains, rivers, waterfalls, beach. Tanan, anything that has to do with nature. You love animals. Anyone here? Pet lovers? You love dogs, cats, sabadiha, elephants, kangaroos, sabah, cockroaches? Joke lang. Dragons. But you love nature. Anyone here, you generally love nature. I have a picture, animals, plants. How many of you love stargazing? Alright, stargazing, or you know, you love looking at the moon, especially pag dako kayang moon, kanang murag super moon, full moon, blood moon, tanga na lang anything that has to do with the moon. Or if you just love watching at the skies, like Patrick. Animals, the plants, nature, landscapes, seascapes, the galaxies, the universe, the stars. Those amazing things, they were all created by God. Spoken into being. Every time the Bible describes that when God would create something, He would say, and God said, there it appeared that He would form the earth, He'd form the heavens. God is a creator of all things. God is the sovereign creator of heaven and earth. Acts 17 verse 24 to 25 says there, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything,
since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made the world and He gives us everything. He created life. He is the author and perfecter of everything in this world. The God we worship is a creator, an almighty God able to create anything and everything that He wants. But not just that. In the first few lines, as we can see it here in the tarp, we say that, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Not only is God the creator of everything, He's also our Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the apostles were asking Jesus, teach us to pray like you do. It's not that they didn't know how to pray, it's that they wanted to pray as Jesus prayed, because the way Jesus prayed was quite different from how they did it. And this was Jesus' response. He said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, when Jesus said, our Father, Father there comes from a word, Abba, okay? And Abba, yes, it means Father, but there is no complete equivalent translation in the English language for this word. Because when you call someone Abba, yes, you call him Father, but it also means that there is a certain level of intimacy or closeness with that person. So in other words, as Jesus was telling his apostles, pray to God like this, Abba Father, our Father. It's like he's telling his apostles, when you pray to God, pray as if he's your heavenly Father. Pray as if you're really close to him. You can speak to him as if he's someone really close in your life. And we can do the same. And when we pray to God, we can pray to him, Abba Father. We can cry out to him and say, he's our heavenly Father. You know, God is an almighty, all-powerful God. But not only that, he's also a personal God. You might ask, what does this have to do with me? Or how does this affect my life? God being the creator and God being my heavenly Father. Okay, Tom, how does this affect the way I live my life today? Let me start off with God being our creator. If God was the creator, if he created everything in the world, including us, if he created all the animals, the plants, you know, the landscapes, seascapes, the universe, the galaxy, if he created all of those things, including us, then that means that we were created by a loving heavenly God, created or designed, that we came into this world not by accident, not by regret, but we came into this world by being created by God with intention, with design, with purpose, and with destiny. When we say that something is created, eto, how many of you here, you're an artist, or you're friends with an artist, na may kailad ring artist, or you love making things with your hands, okay? Like artwork, drawing, sculpture, okay, embroidery. Okay? You love making things. But every time you would make something, okay, if you try to make the next Mona Lisa, okay, you try to come up with the next best 3-star Michelin dish in the world or something like that. Or you try to make the next tallest building in the whole world. Every time you try to design, create something, it is never by accident or just there's no thought given to it or something. Whenever we try to create something, it is with intention, with design, with purpose. And it's the same thing with us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says there, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word workmanship there means masterpiece. The Bible tells us that we are God's masterpiece. And I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word masterpiece, I don't have a picture of something that's just carelessly made or made by accident, by fluke, or without thought or something. When I hear the word masterpiece, I think about the best work an artist or a creator has ever made. And the Bible compares us to something like that, a masterpiece. When we think of masterpiece, we think of the Mona Lisa, we think of, you know, the best thing an artist has ever made. And we are God's workmanship, God's masterpiece. Some of us here today need to hear that. Maybe you've been living your life thinking, Lord, will I ever amount to anything? Lord, will I ever, you know, do something worthwhile with my life? Lord, I feel like I'm here in this life. No, I'm just an accident. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I'm no one special. I'm just living, breathing. I'm going to die one day. That's it. I'll just live. I'll just survive. You know what? You are called more than just to survive. You are called out to live out your purpose. When God created and formed you, but the Bible says he even knows the number of hairs on your head. That's how detailed he formed you. You know how fine-tuned our body is? Every cell in our body, if you take one part away, it will completely fail. All the parts have to be properly put in place for it to work. All our cells have to be properly put in place for it to work. That's how intricately fine-tuned our body is. That's how careful God designed our bodies are. God has great plans for you and me. He has a purpose for you. Some of us here today, we need to hear that. We need to understand that there is a God who believes in us. There is a God who wants to see us live our lives more than just survival mode na lang. Na you'll go to school, have a job, get married, have kids, have grandkids, then you'll die. You know what? That's just surviving. We are called to live our lives with purpose. We can do so much with our lives. And God wants to see you maximize your life to live out your potential because you are His masterpiece. When I think of a masterpiece, I don't think of something like gigama is shelved na lang kasi wala purpose, wala use. We are God's masterpiece. You have a purpose. God looks at you and He has great plans for you. In fact, it says here na, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has prepared something for us. We all have a purpose, church. That's what happens when we get to understand that He is our creator, that we are not here by fluke, by accident. We are not useless people. We are people designed, created by a loving Heavenly Father, a creator, meant to live out our purpose and destiny. But what about if God is our Heavenly Father? How does it affect our lives? Let me just illustrate it this way. How many of you are familiar with this guy, see Bill Gates? I think many of us, or all of us, know this guy, Bill Gates. Okay, the founder of Microsoft. He made Windows. Okay, he's a billionaire, very influential person. We know his status. We know his contribution. We know he's a great guy. We know he's a big guy in the world of computer industry. And, you know, we can look at him and we're amazed and that's it. No effect in our life whatsoever. Not as much as it. But what if I tell you, let's say Patrick, one day he would go to his house, see an envelope. What envelope? Gikan America. He opened the envelope. Then on that envelope was stated, "Hello, Sir Patrick. We are pleased to inform you that you are the long lost son of Mr. Bill Gates. And Mr. Bill Gates would want to invite you to live with him, his family, to be a part of his family, and to be with him, okay, and inherit parts of the things he has." If you're Patrick, how many of you would be blown away with that thought? Diba? If that was us, if we found out that we're related to, you know, a king, a queen, a billionaire, it would radically change the way we live our life. Just like this picture. Are you familiar with this movie? I'm still waiting until now. Still waiting for my grandma to call me. How many of you at one point in your life, ladies, nagwait lola one day, mingunin mo, "You know what? You're a princess." This movie right here, okay, for those of you who don't know, okay, the movie right here, it's about a young girl, or ordinary average girl, who found out that she was royalty. And before that, she was just this ordinary girl, nga, you know, unpopular, low self-esteem issues, and all those stuff. But when she realized she was royalty, it changed her life. She became more confident. Point is, it exactly changed the way she lives. But it's the same thing with us. When we come to understand that our God is a Heavenly Father. Yes, we have earthly fathers, but there's nothing over that. We have a Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father who created everything, who owns everything. And so what does that mean? It means that when we have needs, when we cry out, "Now, Lord, I need provision, I need healing, I need this and that," you know what? We can cry out straight to our Father. We can have the boldness, the audacity to come before Him, pray to Him, and ask Him, "Lord, I need provision, I need healing, I need these things. Abba, Father." Because He's our Heavenly Father. We have a relationship with Him. It's kind of like, you know, if a son or a daughter in a house of any family, kung gigutom siya, that person will just go into the ref, open the ref, and take whatever food he or she wants. But if a guest would come into the home, that person can't just, "Uy, gutom ko ha, kung abuse ref ni mo." That person is rude. Hey, FC. Dili pwede mabuhat na sa ordinary tao lang. To a guest can't do that to another person. But family members, there's a special access. When you're part of a family, it's different. The same thing with us. When we pray to God, because He's our Heavenly Father, we can ask so much of Him. Imagine this. We can have a relationship with the Almighty or powerful Heavenly God. Last illustration I want to share. The parable of the prodigal son. You know what? This story right here, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Yes, it's titled The Parable of the Prodigal Son, but it's also a story that demonstrates or highlights the love of a father. And the father in the story represents or symbolizes our Heavenly Father. Na kung hinani ka loving ang earthly father, how much more our Heavenly Father? Let me give you a quick summary lang. We have a son run away from home, insulted his father by taking his inheritance, and back then, when you took your inheritance, nabuhay pa yung father, is like telling your father, "Dad, I cannot wait until you die."
That's how insulting that was. So he ran away, spent all that he had. But when he lost everything, there was famine. He was poor, impoverished, and had nothing left. He went back to his father. And when he went back to his father, when he was still a long way off, like, let's say, from napas door da pit ang son and ang father nasa stage, the father ran towards the son. And this was pretty unorthodox or weird for them to hear. The Israelites back then, when Jesus was sharing this parable, this shocked them a lot because the father was held with such high regard or respect. Now everyone should know, obey, follow the father. And so for a son to disobey, dishonor the father, they were thinking that as Jesus was sharing this parable to them, that the son was going back to the father. You can imagine, some of them were probably thinking, ay, kabulok kung sa ending ang istorya, patay ning anak ni pag-abot niya sa balay. Shotgun lagi ni pag-abot sa putahan ba? They had that thought in mind, man, I know the ending of the story. This son, he's a goner. He'll never be in that household again. Kind of like those movies you see na, kami na may mga telenovela, mga movies na, how dare you set foot in this house again? How dare you show your face to me? Mga inana ba? When his son was a long way off, the father ran. And maybe they're thinking, okay, he ran. Okay, dagan siya. Kasi bugbugo niya, asong bago na ganyan niya, inanang thinking sa mga tao back then. But when the father ran towards the father, before even heard of any apology from the son, the father hugged him, kissed him, welcomed him, reinstated his status as a son. And even when the son apologized, no, he decided, can you just take me as a servant na lang? Because I'm too ashamed to be your son. The father did all that he could to reinstate him. You know what? You are my son. He gave him a ring, he gave him a cloak, he gave him shoes to tell him, you are my son. You are my son. That's how loving this earthly father was. And this father shows or symbolizes that our God, yes, he's powerful, almighty, but he's also a loving God. And some of us here today, we need to hear that we worship, we serve a God who is not only powerful, but also loving. A God who is personal, but the way he's personal to us is that he is loving. Pwede naman kasi personal kayo pero dili loving good. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is a personal and loving Heavenly Father. So loving that he's willing to shower us unconditional love. What do you mean by unconditional love? It means that it doesn't matter what we do, he still loves us. It doesn't mean that we get to abuse it. But even at the midst of our sin, amidst of the worst things we ever did, God's love for you and for me never wavered an inch. That's how unconditional his love for you and for me is. He's a Heavenly Father. Some of us here today, we live our lives looking for love from people, from places. We try to look for affirmation, feed that void for us to feel good, for us to fill in that need, that void of being loved. Well, guess what? We can look no further than the God that we worship and serve, that he is a Heavenly Father who loves us so much. Church, I want to remind us here today that we have a God who loves us so much that it's unconditional. That's the kind of God that we worship. And I don't know about you, but whenever we get to hear of people, have an encounter with people who love us, who care for us, does it affect the way we live our lives? But how many of you are thankful for your parents, your friends, or your siblings because they love you? But even if your siblings drive you crazy sometimes, you're thankful for your brothers and sisters. Diba? One of the greatest needs of people is the need to be loved. And we can have access to unconditional, unlimited, unfathomable, nga, dito maabot ang limit sa love ni God rather. We have access to that through our Heavenly Father. That's what happens when we get to understand when God is our Heavenly Father. The second thing I want us to understand is that God the Son, God is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about God being our Heavenly Father. Now we talk about God being the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say Jesus Christ, we mean that we believe Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and is both fully God and fully human. God came down into this world as Jesus, but when he did so, it wasn't 50-50. It wasn't like if you've heard, you know, the mythologies of Greek mythologies, Egyptian mythologies, you know, Hercules or those demigods, you've heard of those stories. Jesus was not 50-50. Jesus was not 50% God and 50% man, but he was 100%. Now, if you're thinking, how can that possibly happen? It's like saying 100% black and 100% purple happening all at the same time. Huna-huna ka na black and purple at the same time. Lisod kayo siya i-figure out. You know what? The truth of the matter is, there are some things that we cannot fully explain when we talk about God. Jesus' divinity, okay, is full 100% God and is full 100% human. Now, it can't be fully explained, actually, how that can possibly happen. But diba, mathematically, how can that be? But you know, that's a good thing, that we can't fully explain everything and anything that has to do with God. Because if we did so, then God ceases to be God. If you can box God, limit God, profile God into everything and anything about Him, if you can have a research study that you can say, here's the data about God and everything we need to know is right here, then God ceases to be an omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful God that's beyond our comprehension. If we can pin down everything about God, then God becomes finite. God becomes limited. God is no longer greater than anything that we'll ever face, any challenge or anything in this world, in this universe. God becomes boxed. And so it is good, rather, that we cannot comprehend everything about God because He is beyond our comprehension. He's bigger and greater than anything we'll ever face or come to understand. There are some aspects about God that we'll never fully understand. And that is a good thing. And that tells us that we worship a God who is bigger than anything else. That is good news for us. Now, going back to Jesus, a couple of things I want to share about Jesus. Firstly, Jesus is Savior. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, therefore, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. This whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This verse, this famous verse, it tells us of what Jesus did. And that is, He saved us. He saved you and me. God so loved the world, our Heavenly Father loves us so much, and He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God came down into this world as Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be set free from our sins, so that we no longer have to feel the guilt, the shame, the condemnation of our sins, so we can be free from the power of the sin in our life. Now, before, we live in sin, what I'm abuhat, we just go with it. But because of what Jesus did, we can overcome the sin issues in our lives. That's what Jesus did. He saved us. When we say saved us, by dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting, He changed the destiny of our lives. The Bible says in one of the verses in Romans chapter 6, I didn't put it there, for the wages of sin is death. That every time we sin, the wage, ang pay, ang kapalit niya is death, spiritual death. That means going to hell. And because God loved us so much, He couldn't just leave us alone. But because it's also just, He had to deal with the sin in our lives. So basically, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to receive the punishment, the judgment for our sin. Now supposedly, ato unta punta, He took our place, saved us from a different kind of destiny. And so now we can live our lives enjoying the blessings, the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace of God. If I were to illustrate in one way what Jesus did, siguro it's kind of like this. Kasi itong mahilig og dogs, diri gani. Let's say, Kuya Ryan has a French bulldog named Junjun. Right? Let's say, Junjun ang alas yung bulldog and he loves Junjun, you know, a cute bulldog, you know, groom niya, play niya, he feeds that bulldog. Then one day, okay, si Junjun, okay, nagkasakit, contracted a fatal, deadly illness. 100% mortality rate. So, Kuya Ryan brings the dog to the vet, tells him, Doc, help me cure my dog. Name your price, any price. What do you need? Any equipment, surgery? What kind of operation? Doc, kasi kailangan lang. And the doctor tells Kuya Ryan, and imagine if you were Kuya Ryan. Let's say the doc would tell you, you know what, Mr. Delubio? The only way to save your dog is for you to be reborn as a French bulldog yourself. Live your life from a puppy bulldog up to a full-grown bulldog. Take his place here at the operating table and, you know, take his disease and die on his place. And your bulldog will then be fully alive. What would your reactions probably be? I bet most of us would say, you know what, Junjun, I miss you. Sorry. I love you, but thank you for the memories. I'll miss you. Let's spend the last days together. Well, diba? Most likely, dili ka siguro masagutan na. Yes, we love the dog so much, pero to a certain extent, to a certain degree, to a certain limit. But God loves us so much. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He was willing to come down into this world. Fully God, come down into this world. Fully God and also fully human. And here's the amazing thing. He chose to be born. Chose to be born. A virgin birth, yes, but still chose to be born. If you were God, you know, maybe you could have thought, puti, diretso na lang ko nga, 33 years old, para humana na dayon, die on the cross, instant, mana. But He chose to be born, to live our life as if He was
100% human. Can you imagine this? The God, the heavenly creator of everything, at one point in his life, because he was born as a baby, at one point in his life, Jesus needed to have a diaper change. Can you imagine that? At one point in his life, he went through puberty. At one point in his life, nandagma siya, nasamad siya, kasabad siyang mama. He lived the life as we lived our lives. He experienced the things we experienced: rejection, humiliation, experienced pain, hunger. I lived a life just like we live, so that he could represent us. So that when he died on the cross, he lived a sinless life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. That's how loving our God is. Church, that he would send his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. He's our Savior. Another thing that talks about Jesus is that he is Lord. A lot of people, okay sila with the thought of Jesus having Savior. But when it comes to having Jesus as Lord, this is what divides some people. You see, the Bible, it gives a strong emphasis that Jesus is Lord. In fact, yes, it mentions that Jesus is Savior, but it all the more mentions Jesus as Lord hundreds of times in the New Testament, incredibly more so than Jesus. As if the Bible wants us to be reminded that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him before the dead, you will be saved. In fact, for us to acknowledge and accept and receive the salvation that comes from Jesus, for us to acknowledge that he is Savior, we must first acknowledge that he is our Lord. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Lordship is crucial, actually. For those of you who've gone through one-to-one or going through one-to-one, nakakagi chapter 2, but there's lordship there. Lordship is essential in our life. Now, a lot of people don't like the idea of concept of lordship because when we say we have lordship or Jesus is Lord, it means that he is our Lord and Master. He's like our boss. He calls the shots. Kita mga tao, we have a negative mindset when it comes to a boss, a master, or a Lord. We have terms like bossy. But we have that negative mindset about masters like this one. But you know what? Jesus being Lord, we're still talking about the very same person who died on the cross for our sins. The very person who had the best of intentions for us. Who willingly suffered, died for you and for me. Not for the good things we did, but actually for the worst of the worst things we did. So how can we not choose to follow and obey or have him as Lord? If he has proven that he wants nothing more than what is best for us. It's just that a lot of times we think we know what's best for ourselves. Now, we don't know, ay, safe na din eh. We need to come to understand that Jesus, being our Lord and Master, he wants nothing but the best for us. He's a different kind of Lord and Master. He says, come to me, all those of you who are broken and weary. He's not like the other Lords and Masters that will just dump things on you, make you do things, slave drive you or something. Jesus is a different kind of Lord and Master. He's a loving Lord and Master. Loving so much that again, he died for you and for me. And again, because he is Lord and Master, it means he knows what's best for us. If we want to live our lives avoiding unnecessary pain, problems, and issues in our life, then we need to obey and have him as our Lord and Master. It's as simple as that. If you want to be spared from unnecessary, you know, headaches and heartaches in your life, have Jesus as your Lord and Master. The last thing I want to talk about, as we talk about the Godhead, the three persons in the Godhead, is the Holy Spirit. Now, before I talk about the Holy Spirit, again, I just want to recap lang na. I'm not saying that we have three gods, okay? We have one God, one true, one God. But he's in three persons. And again, just like Jesus being 100% man, 100% God, now it can't be fully explained. The same thing goes with this. That we can't fully explain how can he be God the Father? How can he be God the Son? No, Jesus, 100%. And also, no, God the Holy Spirit, 100%. It is partly a mystery. And again, that is a good thing for us because it tells us just how beyond our comprehension our God is. That's a good thing for us. Let me just go back to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a force. It's not, you know, like Star Wars, you know, use the force. It's not like Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Okay, he is God. He is 100% God, just like Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 16, when Jesus was about to go back to heaven to be with God the Father, he told his apostles, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Jesus was telling his apostles, I'm going back, I'm leaving this earth now, but I'll be back. But someone else will come after me. And He will be with you forever. And He says, another helper. When we say helper, it comes from the word parakletos, which means someone who helps you in legal problems, okay? Someone called to help for another person in court. Now, just like Jesus helped us, okay? If you were to put our scenario, our sinner life in a court case, Jesus took our punishment, the judgment. The same way Jesus is telling that another helper, someone like me who is called to help as well. And the word another there comes from a word allos, which means another of the same kind. It's like Jesus is telling someone else like me, 100% God, is going to come after me and He'll be with you forever. He'll be with you forever. He's telling His apostles, do not be afraid. He'll be with you forever. The apostles. You know what the interesting thing about these apostles? These guys were ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary citizens. But these guys ended up radically influencing, changing the course of history. And how, you might ask, to radical encounters with God. Like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me share the story of how they had an encounter firsthand with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went up back to heaven, they were left alone. They felt afraid, confused at first, worried, because there was persecution happening. Back then, if you're a follower of Jesus, you would either be imprisoned or put to death. And so one day, the apostles were all huddled together in a room, let's say like this one. They were hiding from soldiers, from people who would imprison them or capture them. And they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they started speaking in strange tongues. And it gave them power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 gives you a preview. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. You know what happened when they received the Holy Spirit? When they had an encounter of the Holy Spirit. One of them, Peter, went outside the room. The very same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times previously. Because he was afraid na ma-associate siya ni Jesus and he would be imprisoned or killed. This very same Peter went out of the room and boldly proclaimed and preached who Jesus was to the crowds, to the people around them. And because of that, over 3,000 people were added to their number. The church grew in number from there on, adding more and more. They planted different churches in different cities. They were able to do miraculous signs and wonders. They were able to heal the sick as Jesus was able to heal the sick. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to do different miracles. You know why was that all possible? Because the Holy Spirit was with them. They received power. And you know what? The good thing is, it's not just for them. It is for all of us. For you and for me. God is willing to pour out His Spirit to those who ask. We can have the gift of salvation because of what Jesus did. We can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can have the Holy Spirit in our lives if we ask. And what happens when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives? Several things. Number one, because the Holy Spirit is called a helper. Jesus mentioned that He was a helper. He's also called a counselor. He is the Spirit of truth. There's so many nicknames of the Holy Spirit that you can take time to research and know about it in your Bible. It means now, if He's a helper and a counselor, it means whatever situation you're in right now, there is someone who can be with you and help you get through it. At times, we feel like we're all alone facing our problems, our issues, whether that be financial, studies, work, relationships, health. We're never alone in facing a church. The Holy Spirit is always here with us to give us encouragement, to give us comfort, to give us strength. To counsel us, to help us. Na matingala lang kami. I was able to get through this problem. I was so down. I was so immersed with my issues, my problems, my challenges. I felt like there was no way out. There was no way I could overcome it. How would I possibly ever overcome? You know what? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's also the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth. He allows us to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is sinful and what is not. When you're living your life and you're being tempted, and before you were easily swayed and persuaded by the sin in your life, but now, because of the Holy Spirit, parang may warning na, may red alert na, may sahip niya siya. You know what? That is the Holy Spirit working in your life. Renewing your mind, changing your attitudes, your actions, your mindsets. When you read your Bible and you realize, wow, you're blown away by something you read in the Bible. Kaya before we read our Bibles, we ask God, Lord, reveal, speak to me, Lord God. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Whenever you go to a worship service, you hear one of the preachings, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through the preacher. Whenever you feel like, man, para sa ako ani, I tell you, we don't know all your issues. We don't know everything about what you're going through. It's the Holy Spirit speaking, tugging into your heart. Because that's how God loves us so much. He's willing to pour out His Spirit for our benefit. And lastly, last thing that what the Holy Spirit does, is that the Holy Spirit enables us to be effective witnesses of the gospel. If we are here today, we want to preach the gospel. We want other people to know about God, about Jesus. Then we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, Peter, the only reason why he was able to preach so powerfully and bring in 3,000 people into their number was because the Holy Spirit was acting in his life. Because the Holy Spirit was moving in his life. It gave them the courage to preach boldly. Not, man, good, wala na tong Peter. Hadlukan sa na, wala na tong Peter. That denied Jesus 3 times. I am the Peter who will boldly proclaim Jesus. If we are here today and we want to preach the gospel to people, if you want to do one-to-one with someone, start your victory group, or invite someone to church, or just share God to other people, your schoolmates, workmates, your family members, your friends, we need the Holy Spirit to be effective in that area. And the good thing is we can all have access to the Holy Spirit because He dwells in us. Let me end with this thought. The apostles, we're ordinary people who, through radical encounters with God, because God transformed their lives, they ended up becoming world changers. Imagine this, fishermen, tax collectors, changed the course of history, influenced governments, places, lives were changed, whole societies were changed because of what the message they preached. They were able to do so because of God in their lives. You know what that means for us, church? Our lives, it will never be the same the more we have an encounter with God. The more we come to understand who God is in our life, the more we come to understand or learn about, you know, God being our Heavenly Father, God being Lord Jesus Christ, and God being the Holy Spirit, the more it will greatly change the way we live our life. This preaching, pilala ni ka minutes. But when you kept reading your Bible, kept learning about who God is, it will greatly affect your life, change your life. Now you'll be able to accomplish so much, maximize your life. Now you're not just living your life. You're not just surviving.